passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We have blast off on a Monday. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. What a weekend, and another great week coming up. We'll get to all of it and your phone calls. Brian Kelly. Yes, Brian Kelly will join us in a couple of moments. Let's talk about Georgia. Scrappy Dogs. They may not be number one in the big poll, but they played like it the other day against a pesky Missouri football team.
Win them all. But and the expectation for our team apparently is that you're going to win every play up front. And that's just not real in the SEC. You're going to face really good defenses and really good people. And you got to keep chopping wood and keep coming back. And we did that. And we found ways to have success in the run game. And, you know, ended up having a really nice run, a couple of nice runs by Kendall and nice runs by Dejon.
What about the Crimson Tide? Remember when everyone was doubting them? Well, Jalen Milroe let all the naysayers know by outdueling Jaden Daniels in the Alabama win. Nick Saban, pretty happy himself.
You know, probably the most complete game we played all year, especially the way we executed in the second half. I thought offensively, you know, we controlled the line of scrimmage. We had great balance. Jalen played really well, obviously, you know, being the player of the week. But, you know, I think that, you know, this team has created an opportunity for itself. So everybody's got to make a choice on, you know, what do you want to do to prepare and to continue to play at the level that we're capable of playing at and to continue to improve. And, you know, I don't think this is a time for anybody to be complacent. I know that even Sunday morning when I got up, you know, I was like, wow, I'm tired, you know, but you got to go, man. You got to keep going. You got to keep grinding. You got to keep focused on what you have to do to get better and to prepare for the next game.
So this is what we have remaining. How about Dogs and Ole Miss? Bama's at UK. They're fresh off a win over Mississippi State. Missouri and Tennessee, a couple of really great games on the 17th. Really great game in Knoxville. Speaking of Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin crediting social media for fueling the motivation to beat Jimbo Fisher yet again. Shane Beamer has made a frank admission that we all agree with. He needs to coach better to close out the season. We'll get a couple of opportunities to turn this thing around, including a date with fired up Clemson at the end of the year. Buying stock in Clemson today. Hugh Freeze got a win in Nashville over the weekend. Next step, go to a bowl. That's what this season was about, according to the pundits. Coach Freeze on the verge of it. And Billy Napier, he said that without Dan Enos, Arkansas had some new wrinkles. I guess word filtered down to Gainesville that Dan Enos was gone, but I'm not sure. Ryan Kelly joining us in a couple of minutes. He has the Gators this weekend. Reese Davis from College Game Day. They're heading to Athens. Maybe David Pollock ought to be the guest picker there. Seth Emerson joining us, and Jason Gay from the Wall Street Journal on the Michigan mess. And your phone calls to start it off, and let's check in with Dominic in Jacksonville.
Paul, roll top. Paul, I'm loving our team. I'm loving that we come together, Paul, but I ain't going to get my ticket until I know we're going to Atlanta. I ain't going to make a mistake and say I'm going to buy my ticket right now. We beat Kentucky after this week.
Dominic, go ahead and buy it. Don't worry. Do not despair.
Paul, but I'm thinking
I said this that a couple weeks ago, didn't I? I said book it. Alabama's going to Atlanta.
But Paul, I'm so excited about this team. I'm so excited about our team. I think we're proven. I think this one of Coach Saban's best jobs he done did in a long time with our team. I'm more confident with Monroe and Reese. I think we could beat Georgia, but I'm just going to take it one game at a time. And I ain't going to say too much because my boy coming on today, legend, because JK run his mouth about Miami, but he need to worry about he want to run his mouth about us, but he need to worry about Miami. Paul, what do you think about that?
Stacy is up next in Beham. Hey, Stacy.
When LSU come in your neighborhood, who you gonna call? Alabama.
Hey, is that loudmouth from New Orleans called in yet?
Oh no, they called in now. Who?
Dwayne, remember him? Guaranteed the LSU was going to win.
Oh yeah, guaranteed. And then JK JK said, Paul, why are you all of a sudden on the Alabama bandwagons? Paul?
You got to be on a bandwagon. Cowboy is up next. Hello, Cowboy.
Hey, Paul. You all right?
I am doing great.
Hey, guess what? I heard that a tiger went from a tiger to Frosted Flakes. You remember that growl last weekend? Rawr!
Oh, yeah.
Rawr. You know what happened to that growl? It went meow, meow.
We are getting some great calls to start the show off. How about John in Louisville? Hey, John.
Well, they're filling their oats, aren't they?
They are.
Hey, great Friday show. I've got to put Oxford on my bucket list. And just a quick takeaway. Alabama is just on a trajectory improving every week. I'm going to go double digit for the third week in a row over Kentucky. Agree with the AP and the coaches poll, albeit I think Oregon's better than Washington, but they lost to them. And I think Alabama's better than Texas, but they lost to them. But those can work out. Your CFP picks of Georgia, OSU, Michigan, FSU are perfect. And predictions, I think Michigan's going to have a tough time with Penn State, but then James Franklin is the coach. So they'll win, I think, double digits over Kentucky for Alabama. And I think Missouri will upset Tennessee. And just a quick shout-outs to some coaches, if you have a moment. I thought Sam Pittman was the worst SEC coach, but then again, Billy Napier lost to him, so he's the worst. Jimbo would be the perennial winner for worst top 10 coach, but Lincoln Riley is out of the top 25, and he did a scapegoat move this weekend. And then Dabo boasting, hello, Sam Hartman lost that game. You didn't win it, just like he did in Louisville. And then Sanders, his 15 minutes are over. Trust the process. He changes OCs, and they get 78 yards and 3 points in the first three quarters. That's it.
What an analysis. How about that? Let's check in with what we got. How about Jeff in Maryland? Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Paul. Long-time listener, second-time caller. I spoke with you briefly last year one time.
Fantastic.
I was thinking about this. I was wondering about this scenario. Alabama is on the rise. What if Alabama wins the SEC, but the Pac-10, the Pac-12 champ is undefeated, the Big Ten champ is undefeated, and then Florida State, the ACC champ, is undefeated, and Texas wins the Big 12?
Well, you just gave Jeff, you just gave the nightmare scenario. Because then Alabama is matched up against Texas as the two one-loss teams in that group, and it there's kind of an unwritten rule: you go with the team to beat the other guy, but that's not always the way it's going to work out. I can't give you an answer right now because I really
right.
do want to be fair about it, and but to me, if Alabama moves down the road and beats Georgia, I don't care what happened in Tuscaloosa. We'll take a short break. We are back with Brian Kelly, who knows a little bit about going to Tuscaloosa on a Saturday night, his first trip over the weekend. We'll speak to him right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back with Coach Brian Kelly of LSU as the Tigers move on, getting ready to take on the Gators from Florida. Big rivalry game. Coach, thanks for the time. It's always difficult to move past a tough loss, but what's the message to the team? I realize you can't sit around and worry about what you didn't do right. You have another big game.
Yeah, no doubt. Florida is going to be a great challenge. Look, you know, you go on the road against the top 10 team, playing good is not good enough. I mean, you've got to play elite. You've got to play to the level of a team that is, look, they've played in two out of the last three national championship games. So you can't bring your B game. You got to bring an A game. I thought we did some good things. I like the way our guys competed. It's 35-28 going to the fourth quarter, and we had a deflected pass that got turned into a touchdown. So again, letting our guys know that they competed, they prepared well, but it's just not good enough against a really good football team at home.
Coach, you've alluded to some disparity between Alabama and Georgia and where your program is. When you're on the field with that type of talent, what do you think about? And I realize you don't have a lot of time to think about that, but certainly what is your takeaway from what LSU needs to do to bridge that gap?
Well, it's layers in recruiting. We're playing, two freshmen in certain areas. And, I learned a long time ago, if you want to win on the road, bring a veteran team, a really good veteran team. So some young players, inexperienced players, guys that we had to, bring in that have done a nice job for us through the transfer portal. They're good players for us. But you want to develop your players. Alabama, Georgia have done a great job of developing their players through their program where they don't have to put them on the field until they've been seasoned within the program itself. And then when they're ready to play physically, mentally, technically, they can play at the highest level. So we're just a step behind, but we're closing the gap again. We got it to the fourth quarter with a chance to win. Most people would say, hey, that's not a bad place to be. But then we had the key turnover.
You also had the key injury to Jaden. First of all, most important thing, how is he and what are the prospects for him moving forward?
Yeah, of course. I think you would realize that he's in our protocols, the concussion protocols will probably extend themselves, through the next couple of days. He is making progress. The last couple of days have been good days for him. But I think the proof will be, as we get into Tuesday and Wednesday, what is he capable of doing? So we won't be able to answer the question really for the next probably 48 hours.
We're chatting with Coach Brian Kelly as the Tigers move on to play the Gators. Coach, I know there's a lot of different messaging to a squad. In November, things change when you lose a key game. Without the playoffs and obviously the SEC title game off the table, what do you tell them in terms of what's ahead?
Well, really, Paul, kind of what I said to you earlier at the outset is like, we need to take this program from being a good program to being elite. Are you up for that challenge? Being elite is hard. You've got to make a lot of sacrifices. You've got to do a lot of things that are very difficult in terms of habits, in terms of how you practice, how you prepare. Are you willing to do all those things? And so this month in November is about really, what are you interested in doing? How do you want to grow as a football team? Look, we really have a chance, if we do the things the right way, week in, week out, we can win 10 games again for the second consecutive season. That to me is consistency in building a program. So that's all in front of us. Yes, we want to play for an SEC championship. That is the ultimate goal and get to the playoffs. But this football team has a chance to continue to grow and continue to move itself towards being a good program to being a much better one.
I realize you and your staff go through film. That's part of the process. You try to correct the mistakes. And I know in the middle of the season, there are a lot of things that are possible and a lot of things that are difficult. But in terms of what you and your staff have done, when are you able to evaluate the little things that maybe either helped or hurt along this odyssey?
Well, I think some of the things that have helped, we've played so much better in our front, our defensive line. The improvement there has been probably the biggest step forward for our defense. from Mississippi. I think that those are the things that you're looking for. And then you're looking for the areas where haven't we grown? And then those will be the deeper dives that we take after the season. Right now, we're embroiled in developing our players every single day and preparing them for Saturdays, because this is about this journey that we're on right now for the next 3 weeks. Then we'll take the time, kind of take a step back and say, okay, where did we make progress in the middle of the season? And then where did we regress or not make the kind of progress? And then we'll have to address those things in the offseason.
Coach, I'm always curious about coaches on game day. You're in the game of the day, and there's so much tension and there's so much attention as well. Florida, your next opponent, played early. Do you try to watch the game, or do you want to not be distracted and start thinking about a week ahead when you're hours away from the game?
I generally don't. I mean, maybe some coaches do. I like to have my own kind of space in terms of some quiet time. I generally don't even watch the games themselves. I just try to get into the right space mentally, start to think about situations during the game that are important, and maybe look at my phone for an update on a score or two from some friends of mine that are in the profession that I'm pulling for. Other than that, I kind of stay away from the emotions, I guess, of watching another game.
Coach, on another subject, which is unrelated to LSU, I've heard you make a few comments on what is the rage controversy today, and that's the sign-stealing allegations being thrown around. I know you don't have, or maybe you do, personal knowledge of what's been going on at the University of Michigan, but where are we right now with these type of allegations, and how do you rectify a situation like this?
Well, I'm certainly aware of the news stories. I don't have any firsthand information. I can only add that, look, this entire situation should be looked at through the same lens as we look at recruiting. Certainly, we want to be doing the right things as it relates to recruiting. We want to do the right things as it relates to NIL. And this would apply as it relates to sportsmanship as well. If there's anything that's egregious in any one of those three facets in which we live our lives as coaches, then it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed in the manner that puts an end to it. Because if it's okay to do it in any one of these three venues, then we open up the door for others to say, well, they're not taking this seriously. So I kind of look at it through through all three of those lenses and say, we should handle all of those in the same manner.
Coach, we really appreciate your candor in coming on here, win or lose. It means a lot to us, and I know the audience. Be well, and we look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Coach Brian Kelly joining us from Baton Rouge as we take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And now it's time for Fansville, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. So these are the one loss teams, a chance to win out, and if they do that, to reach the playoffs. Texas and Alabama, look at that. How about Ole Miss? They still have some mountains to climb. Okay. How about this? I mean, I am going to have to try to say this without vomiting, but Ric Flair, who came on our show a couple of years ago, go Dogs, he's a dog. And then remember he got upset with Kirby Smart because Kirby, he claims, blew him off. He is the only person in America who is now standing up for Jim Harbaugh. This was this morning, saying, just spent the morning with my close friend, great coach Jim Harbaugh. Okay, we don't ever ban callers from this show, and I don't think we've ever banned a guest, have we? Well, some say we have, but I have never said that. We're formally banning Ric Flair from ever being on this program again. Woo. I mean, come on. Your son's at Auburn. Remember that time he called? Oh yeah, my son, War Eagle. His son called in our show one day. Another time he went to Florida and tried to act like he was a Florida fan. But mostly as soon as Kirby started getting better and Ric Flair decided, I'm going to be a dog fan. And I remember we saw him 2 years ago in Atlanta. Oh man, I'm be on the sideline tomorrow. We're done with you, Ric. I mean, most everybody else has already been done with you except Jim Harbaugh. I mean, what does it say when the only notable person in the world that Jim Harbaugh can get to stand up for him is a washed-up wrestler? Woo! Dwayne is up next.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum. Hey, man, I'm mad with you right now, man. You should have asked Brian Kelly some harsh questions, man. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, first thing should have came out your mouth. Everybody in Baton Rouge talking about getting rid of Madhouse, all right, the defensive coordinator. We had Alabama about 10 times, 3rd and 10. And this man ran about 6-7 times for a damn touchdown. All right? You know what I'm saying? You should have asked Brian Kelly some
Dwayne, plug it for a second, okay?
Plug it.
You're the cat that's been talking trash to me. Every time I tell you Alabama's going to win that game, you talk trash.
Now
you're turning
you
on one of your assistant coaches.
Come on, Dwayne.
Nobody wants to hear from you.
Man, you crazy. Man,
everybody
in Baton Rouge Nation. Everybody in Baton Rouge Nation. We should have kept Corey Redmond, the defensive back coach. He let him go to Florida because he bringing in 5-star corner defensive back. Staples ain't doing nothing. That dude Staples, we got no defensive line coach. We got an 82-year-old man brought back.
Hey, Dwayne, you know all this last week when you were bragging to me and boasting and tearing down Alabama. So don't give it to me now.
No, we was in the game. We was in the game to that boy.
I caught the game. I didn't miss it.
Turner got injected in that game for that hit. You know what I'm saying? He should have got injected for that game and that hit.
Well, he wasn't even called for targeting, was he?
No, he should have.
Well, he wasn't.
He should have. They called a horse collar on Perkins, but when Jalen Rose ran for 50 yards, they had a horse collar him. And they say nothing.
Dwayne, the commentators say that was a hard call.
You should ask Brian Kelly about Madhouse. Get rid of Madhouse.
I don't really care about that.
You should have asked him.
Didn't matter.
You should have asked him that. You up there playing all women. You playing like a woman. Scared at the man a question.
Apparently, Dwayne said something. Went over that line. So let's get to a rational, reasoned Tiger fan. Augustus is next.
Hey, Paul! Why we still got Brian Kelly? Paul, that Brian Kelly makes $10 million a year. Paul, why we still got him? Paul, that man need to go. That's why I know the man happy. He's on. Paul, what about that man? That man did I just hear Dwayne say we should have been playing women on our team?
I don't know what he was saying. Yeah.
Jesus.
Sorry, Dwayne. Time to go back to the ring.
Before I go into Brian.
Get that long money.
Well, before I go into Brian Kelly rant, Paul, Sam Pittman just welcomed in 3 new people into the hot seat chair.
He did.
I think Billy Napier's on that chair. Jimbo's on that chair. I think Sean Beamer is entering that chair, and Zach Arnett was on the chair before he was even hired. I mean, you know, as you say, he was just a placeholder, but Sam's got some company in the hot chair room. What do you think?
Well, everybody down in Baton Rouge land, let me get my schools right, in Gainesville land, tells me how close Billy Napier is to turning the corner.
Well, I got to say this. You check out Billy's recruiting. It's the corner of Iberville and Delphine,
yeah,
although they're
right.
Parallel. But he's got a better recruiting class than we do, so Dwayne isn't far off from being correct in one of his assertions. But, Paul, how many more years are we going to have to put up with, I'm building a program, I don't have the players, I need the players? How many more years do we give him?
I think the shelf life expires at the end of the season.
Well, I saw you and Matt Berry this weekend, and Matt said, 4 years, 5 years. I think not NIL, but transfer portal
I really don't agree with Matt on that.
Well, I agree with Matt. 3 to 4 to 5 years.
I don't think you get that long anymore. And by the way, we're not speaking
absolutely.
Of Brian Kelly. We're talking about coaches that haven't proven anything. Brian Kelly's already proven who he is and what he's all about. Somebody
but that's
else
irrelevant.
You mentioned
totally.
Earlier has not.
Totally irrelevant, though. We don't care what he did in other places.
He's already done it at LSU. I mean, he did some things last year that I thought were amazing. Now, this year, I haven't really seen him. I haven't seen a whole lot out of that coaching staff.
Well, and let me ask you this question, Paul. And I think it was clear, and I think BK thought it was clear, but the question you asked him about evaluating staff, you were basically asking him, are you going to fire Matt House? Am I not right?
That is correct.
And he danced around it. BK's a smart guy. He knew what you were talking about. But didn't you sense he was coming to Matt House's defense by saying our defensive line has improved over the past few games?
Yeah, I did. And I know people want to come down on me and say, well, I mean, this isn't 60 minutes here. I think there has to be a nuance to a question to a head coach that is willing to at least answer questions, unlike most, after a loss. And I felt like it was a pretty – anybody that follows LSU knew exactly what I was asking there.
I thought it was clear as day, and I think BK thought it was clear as day. And I think the answer BK gave to LSU fans is that – I think Matt has made changes
yes.
in a positive direction, and I am not leaning to firing him, which is what everybody in Baton Rouge wants. And you know he's sticking his neck out for Matt House, and if he keeps him,
but
and
he
the
also
defense...
knows that time this year is on his side. There isn't another game that he won't win, at least until the bowl game.
I don't know about that, Paul.
What you heard from him is you're going to hear it over and over again. We can still be a 10-win season. Every coach has to find something to hang your hat on. Billy Napier right now, you know what he's hanging his hat on? We can still go to a bowl game.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'm not a Florida fan, and I'm not saying a bowl game is what they should hope for, but I'm not so sure we're going to win the rest of our three games, Paul. And I think the A&M game and the Florida game are must wins for BK, yes or no?
Yes.
So, but I am not very pleased with his answer about Matt House. I'm not involved in the team, Augie, but
I did the best I could.
You asked the question.
I had a guy, Randy was off to the side of the stage with a gun at my head, so that's as far as I could go.
Hey, did you notice Squirrel almost dropped the ham on Friday?
I didn't see that, but I'm told by the crew that he almost fell down.
Yeah, well, you need to review the tape, and that could have been he was on the show, he was a guest, he could have filed a lawsuit against ESPN for tripping over exposed wire. So I'm just looking out for your legal culpability.
Jumping in the ambulance before the siren's on. Let's take a short break. We have a long way to go. We're just getting started. Reese Davis, top of the hour. More to come right after.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Great to have all of you with us. Reese Davis joining us in just a few minutes. We've already talked to BK. And let's check out Ken, who is in Birmingham. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
Several things to cover, and I'm glad I didn't get jammed up against a break this time, because that's what my luck turns out to be a lot of times. As far as Billy Napier, I think Sam Pittman bringing in a new offensive coordinator has turned KJ Jefferson into the kind of quarterback that we all thought he was going to be. And I think that's why Arkansas was able to beat Florida. I completely missed that one. I thought Florida was going to, you know, give Arkansas a whipping, but I guess the new offensive coordinator made the difference, because I sure didn't expect it to go into overtime and wind up like it did. As far as Alabama goes, if they make it to the playoffs, if they make it to Atlanta, I'm afraid they're going to get smushed by Georgia. And the reason that I think this is because Jalen Milroe has come a long way, and the offensive line of Alabama has come a long way. But the problem is Jalen is inaccurate with a lot of his passes. There was a time Saturday night when Isaiah Bond was all by himself at the 1 yard line, and Jalen just way overthrew him, and there were several overthrown passes. So unless you know, Jalen's legs are wonderful, he's got great speed, but if Alabama's going to have a snowball's chance of beating Georgia, then Jalen is going to have to improve on his passing. What do you think?
I think you made a really good point. I like a lot about Jalen that I see, but I still feel like there are some issues. I mean, but hey, you can dwell on the negative all you want, and I know that's not your intent here. But to consider where Alabama is right now, I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, they've come a long way. I mean, you know, when they got beat by Texas, you know, it looked like they may lose against several other teams, and it was pretty gloomy. And they've come a long way, but you know, Georgia struggled in the early part of the season, and they kind of tended to play down to their competition, which is what Alabama has done over the years. I've followed the Tide for about 60 years, and I've seen them do the same thing that Georgia has done. But Alabama got off to a slow start, and then they sleepwalked through the first half of the Tennessee game, and I thought LSU is going to kill them if they do that, you know, in the first half against LSU, but they didn't. And I was impressed, and I didn't mean to be negative. I was just, you know, trying to be realistic.
Well, I hear from enough Alabama fans that have similar thoughts as you do. I mean, I don't think they'll really have, I mean, they have two road games that I think will be annoying to them, but I think they'll clearly get to Atlanta. And I'm more interested in how Georgia plays these last couple of weeks, because they have a really challenging slate. I mean, that game against Missouri was very difficult. I think this week will be even more challenging, and I don't know what they'll get in Knoxville, but that would be the one that would scare me to death as a Georgia fan.
That would definitely be a litmus test for Georgia. There's no question about that.
Always great to hear from you, Ken. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Philip next in Texas. Hello, Philip.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, you know, listening to Dwayne earlier, it's just funny to me that, you know, all these LSU fans want to blame Dallas Turner for having that kind of hit. You know, back in the day, that wouldn't even have been a penalty. But now we protect the quarterback, and I get that. I think it was a good hit. I mean, I would have liked to see them battle it out, you know, until the fourth quarter was over. But, you know, it is what it is. Also, what do you think about Jalen Milroe's progress, you know, passing, running, and how far he has come, and how well Tommy Rees has kind of changed the offense to, you know, work around him now? You know, in the early season, I kind of feel like we didn't have an identity, and that's why we lost to Texas. But now I kind of feel like we have an identity. You know, he's not always accurate with the ball, I get that, but he's doing a lot better, you know, throwing intermediate routes now, you know, taking deep shots, using his legs, not sitting back there and popping.
I think you can look at this a couple of different ways, and it doesn't matter how we got to this point. It doesn't matter that Tommy Rees didn't want to play him. They brought in a guy to replace him. All that matters now is what he's done with him since, and I think he's done a really good job. I mean, Milroe, we know who Milroe is, and I think that's why they're using him very effectively. And I think I think Alabama was fortunate. LSU could not have been any more challenged from a defensive standpoint. You heard BK talk about that a little bit. And, you know, they played some good defenses. They played some really powerful defensive lines, including Texas A&M and Tennessee. But he has survived. And not only has he survived, let's not leave out the job Kevin Steele is doing. I mean, the second half Alabama right now is about as frightening as anybody in the country. We appreciate you your call. Let's check in with Tommy in Alabama. Hello, Tommy. Didn't hear from Tommy. How about Glenn in Alabama? Hello, Glenn. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
All right. It was a great weekend. Game day was there at Alabama. All day was great. And we won the game. But, you know, Saban said before the game, he says, how are you going to weather the storm? Well, LSU came in as the storm. Thunder and lightning. Daniels was running all over us like Alabama was zombie, the defense.
But yeah, you're right about that. Hey, Bash is up next in Boulder. Hey, Bash.
It's a new day. Yes, it is, Paul Feinbaum. How we doing?
Okay, sir.
That is great to hear. And, Paul, what a weekend. I have to agree, just like the last caller said, we waited over almost a year, Paul, to see what we saw last weekend. And to hear what you said on Matt Berry's show yesterday was what every realistic, loyal, and patient Alabama fan wanted to hear you say. It was unfortunate that Alabama had to play Tennessee and LSU on the road between 3 weeks last year, and it was in their favor that they played them at home this year. And because they have, Paul, you told Dominique to go ahead and book that ticket to the SEC championship, and I don't think you're going to tell that to Georgia fans, are you, Paul? Because you're starting to believe what I was telling you last week, Paul Feinbaum, that Georgia's –
Reese Davis coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.